人人都会搜索你的。
Hello everyone, this is In the Know with Sohiliwa, highlighting independent artists and their music. I'm your host Sohiliwa, and I hope everyone's having a lovely evening. Tonight, before I get started, last week I was very ill when I was on the show, and I appreciate you all for bearing with me. I'm feeling a lot better today. Yay me. So I want to say thank you very much for being patient with me and how I sound last week. But what I want to do is for all you artists out there who would like to get your music played on the IL radio show, please listen to this.
If you are an artist and you would like to get your music played on the Infinite L Radio Show, you may do so by emailing us at ilradio@infinitelcnc.com. Again, that email address is ilradio@infinitelcnc.com.
All right, everyone. Tonight, my featured guest is instrumentalist and songwriter Evergreen. Hi there, Evergreen.
Hi.
How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Ohiniwa. I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. I'm glad to have you on. Now, do me a favor and just tell me a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, I am a cellist. I was raised a classical cellist and have since developed outside of that. Maybe that isn't the first thing that I should say about myself because it's no longer 100% tells the full scope. And I'm excited to dig into that over the course of our time together on the show. I am a world traveler. I am a lifelong learner. Right now I'm in Oregon. I'm originally from Austin, Texas, and I grew up in that vibrant music scene, really strong, especially like in the like country Willie Nelson kind of scene. That was very much in my periphery, although I was very focused on the classical music when I was growing up. I did like the competitive classical music stuff. And have since been able to use those skills that I got to find my own voice and especially in learning other types of music outside of the academic classical world that I spent 20 years in. I've really felt my ability to develop myself as an artist and as a voice. And so that's been a really exciting journey for me.
Okay. Now, as you said, you are a cellist. My first thing I want to know from you is your first experience with music, was it with the cello or was it with you, writing a piece project? What was your first experience in music?
I started piano when I was 4, and I quit that pretty much as soon as I could because it was such a solitary experience for me. Playing piano as a child, I really felt that I could only interface with the piano itself and my teacher, and I didn't have very many friends around me who I could play music with on the piano. There's sort of a high learning curve before I could get good enough to play with others. But with cello, I was in like little kid orchestra and all that kind of thing, and I played with others right away, and so I loved cello so much more because I could goof around with my stand partner. And so I started piano when I was 4 and cello when I was 6, and I really it was just a question of my mom called me into her room and said, "Hey, do you want to play the cello?" And I was like, "What's that?" And next thing I knew, I was signed up for lessons. And that really was my experience. I did orchestras and solo work for a long time, and I played competitively. And my big love, what really was inspiring for me, was chamber music, playing in string quartets and piano trios with my friend, you know, my other goofball 14-year-old friends, you know, when I was 14 and 13 and 12. And we would get pulled out of orchestra class, which was very exciting, and we would go play quartets and trios together. And that was really my first exploration of music as an emotional experience. My teacher would give us prompts like, oh, like, create a story out of this piece that you're playing that doesn't have any words. Like, make up words to it, or make up like a scene from a movie. You know, tell me a movie that describes this quartet that you're playing. And that would be our assignment. And that kind of thing really got me excited to make music and to understand music in an emotional way.
Super. Now, with you being a cellist, is there any other instruments that you know how to play? Because we know that piano was not one of the ones. But is there anything else that you play?
Yeah, I play a little guitar. I'm working up the mandolin. My partner plays the mandolin, and I'm working on the fiddle. Not violin, to be very clear. I'm really working on those, like, Irish tunes, you know, and just, like, fiddling traditions. I'm really into. And let's see, what else do I play? I traveled around in a sedan trying to go to every national park in the U.S. for a while with 11 instruments stuffed into my sedan and like a box of art supplies. And that was my life for a little while, and that was very exciting. And yeah, I've messed around a bit in Logic and production software and that kind of thing. I just like to kind of pick up whatever makes a sound and see if I have an opportunity to make it beautiful. I know how to play a few Joni Mitchell songs on the dulcimer as well. but that's pretty much my, I say whatever comes, you know?
Yeah, go back a little. You said you went to how many national parks? 11 instruments?
Explain
that one a little bit more, please.
Yeah, I had a goal to go to every national park. I would just have this opportunity to work remotely and drive around and find myself, you know, and just get to know myself and become my own best friend. And for me, that really looked like spending a lot of alone time and just exploring, you know, going after the things that I really love doing. And so I stuffed this, like, ridiculous amount of instruments in my car, including two cellos. And I just drove all around everywhere. And I went to the Grand Canyon, and I went all over the place. And it was really fun. It was really, really fun. And I'm really grateful for that experience and glad for that time.
Okay, that is a new one right there. I am not lying. That is definitely a new one that I've heard. With you doing that, how did that help you grow as an instrumentalist?
Oh, nice question. I feel that experiences like that have really helped me take my own voice as my priority. In the classical tradition, and like often the academic tradition, it's very much encouraged to just learn how to read sheet music, to just, you know, like, learn to follow the dots on the page. Often that music is part of a culture that's over an ocean and 400 years away, you know, and not necessarily directly relevant or reflective of my own life. That was a frustration of mine. And just in general, the way that my education was set up was that I didn't necessarily feel empowered or need to have the skills to create my own music. I had all the skills to follow a composer's path, but I didn't because I was a performing cellist and because my primary method was reading sheet music, just reading those dots, I couldn't. It was like learning to speak English by only reciting Shakespeare on the stage and never having a normal conversation. It was a little bit like that. And as beautiful as that experience was, and as beautiful as classical music is, there is a whole, I mean, there's many, many, many other worlds to music, as is shown by the fact that music shows in humanity in every iteration of culture and era. My work since having a bit of a separation from the classical world has been trying to find my voice in a way that is relevant to my life and to my life experiences, which include my environment and my culture, sort of finding new language forms to me, new genres and new ways of learning music, like improvising and like jazz lead sheet reading, and like learning purely by ear. To really help me find my voice. And that comes from meeting people all over the country and all over the world, musicians and otherwise, and just exploring with myself, like beatboxing in the car and like trying to get better at beatboxing, you know, like to the little left turn quicker, you know, like or whatever, you know. That has been a really healing process for me in my attempt to empower my own voice, and it just happens to come through in my music in this sort of eclectic mix, because I have a lot of eclectic and diverse influences. Does that answer your question?
It did. Because of your classical background, with that and your interest in different genres like bluegrass and folk and jazz, how do you use that when you are creating or working on a project?
First it's a question of actually participating in those scenes. I'm really lucky that my partner is really like a prodigal bluegrass musician. He's really this just top of, he's just a really top line, like bluegrass and jamgrass musician of like the Billy Strings and Grateful Dead traditions. and so that's been super informative for me, learning, you know, and sharing with him, for both of us, sort of cross sharing our influences. And I really feel that an important part about taking on and representing different kinds of music is actively participating in those types of music. And so I've also had experiences in jazz circles, and I mean, in all sorts. I was in a Afro-Indigenous Brazilian percussion ensemble for a while. That was awesome. And like really experiencing why this music sings to the soul of the people who are making it and to me. How does this music speak to me? And once I get there, then it's less of sort of being like, oh, I want to incorporate this genre because I like the sound of this genre, and more like, oh, I'm living in this language and have a community in this language and desire to communicate through this language. It's very much like that.
Okay. So for you, what would you consider your style of music to be?
I feel like that changes almost week to week. I really find it depends on who I'm around. I think my style of music changes and my tastes in music change based on the communities that I'm a part of and the musical interests of those communities. Because I really find that beyond genre, like the message of music is what resonates with me. Like it doesn't matter what, you know, if it's hip hop or if it's reggae or if it's bluegrass or classical or anything, each of those genres have songs about love and have songs about anger and have songs about processing emotions in various ways and processing sometimes very similar experiences in different ways, love, relationships and family and et cetera. And that to me is more of the categorization that I tend towards. I tend towards more songs about love and good feeling and connectedness and community, regardless of what genre that happens to be in, because the genre really is the language. I'm bilingual. I speak Mandarin Chinese as well. And so it's like that. It's like that Chinese is actually my first language. And so it's like that. Like, I can speak about love in English or Chinese. It sort of doesn't matter as long as I'm speaking about love. And it feels the same way in music as well. The genre really is this gets into, you know, a big talk about the history of music and everything, but genres came up because different people developed music in different ways across geographically, like differing locations, you know, to put it very, very, very simply. And now in industry terms and in academic terms too, especially, that's really my world as a student and as a music teacher. Those areas are divided by genre, even though what's shared is much greater than those tools, if that makes sense.
It does. Now, what I want to do is I want to play your first song for the evening.
Okay.
So, the first song is Dream, and it's by my featured guest, Evergreen.
Niwa every Thursday at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time.
All right, everyone. For those of you who may just be tuning in, that song I just played was Dream, and it's by my featured guest this evening, Evergreen. Evergreen, what inspired you to come up with Dream?
Yeah, thanks, Oginiwa. So the concept of my album in whole, the album's name is Delicious Vignettes of Recent American Kind, what came from a classical quartet that was composed by Antonin Dvorak in 1800s. And this piece of music was written when he was living in America. He's a Czech composer. And he came to America and he saw that, first of all, he saw how beautiful and vibrant the continent was, and heard the birds singing, would go on these extensive nature walks, dropped in with a Czech community in, I believe, Iowa. And he noticed a trend that was happening in the American classical scene at the time, which was that classical musicians, classical composers especially, had a proclivity to hear what was happening in Europe and mimic that as more of a fad kind of interaction, as more of like where the direction of the fad is going, or where the style of the day is going, seeing Europe as this model and composing off of that. And Dvorak saw that and said, I really think that music should come from your own lived experience, your own soul, and your own language. And so what if we took the styles and forms of classical music, which was what Dvorak was well-versed in, and use American sounds, like American bird sounds, and especially he was very connected and very deeply inspired by African-American spiritual music. He had a very close friend and colleague who would sing to him, and like culture share, the two of them would just culture share. So he was dropped into that community, and bird sounds and train sounds and Native American ritual sounds. And he would inspire himself with these melodies and these rhythms and these forms and incorporate them into the style of music that he was trained in and well-versed in, which was classical, and in this way kind of fuse cultures in his music. And he wrote this quartet, the string quartet, called, nicknamed the American String Quartet. It's his Opus 96, number 12, deeply inspired by his life in America. And ever since it was written, that piece of music has now joined forces. It has kind of like come into the classical scene and become one of the like standards of classical music, and has departed stylistically from the types of music and the types of inspirations that Dvorak was drawing from for the original composition. And so I thought I would revamp the quartet and take those forms and melodies that Dvorak wrote and put them into genres of music that are based in America. So four of the tracks on my album, including Dream, are representations of different movements of that quartet. And Dream is inspired by all of the great jazz ballads that I've heard all my life, particularly Nina Simone's Wild as the Wind. Oh, my gosh. just the lush and rolling piano and the singing. That sound is really a particular emotional flavor to me that really can't be matched anywhere else. And so the fusion of those two influences, that like ballad, piano, gorgeous singing jazz, from the 60s and 60s and 70s, and this classical work really inspired me for this track.
Okay. Now, is that your voice on the song?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Okay. It's very beautiful.
Thank you.
What made you decide to use your voice on this particular song?
Well, one was budget. I didn't want to, like, if I could do it, like, I might as well. And two was I have always really loved singing. I love singing all the time. I'm singing all the time, constantly. And I never was trained in it. I have taken maybe 6 voice lessons in my life. And all in this, like, very, like, operatic. I've been around a lot of opera music just from my proximity to it through the classical world. And I know that that really informs my voice. And there's just something empowering about just stepping up to the mic and doing it yourself and creating your vision. And, you know, like, yeah, I'm not a jazz singer by any stretch. And I haven't really had the opportunity to get as much into learning about it as I would really love. And it's definitely a life goal of mine to really absorb that skill. And yeah, it was a good, like, almost like a dipping my toes in and feeling empowered in my own voice. And yeah, I think I'm really happy with how it turned out. It was my first singing on this album, really is my first foray into singing publicly, and it was really an empowering experience, and I'm really happy to share this very important part of my life with the public, which is that I love to sing.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and we're going to play the next song,
okay,
so they can hear this piece. So, this song that I'm going to be playing is called Woodstock, and it's by my featured guest this evening, Evergreen.
Oh. My name is Baba Kenya, and I'm from the Children of Adam band. You're listening to In the Know with Ohiniwa.
All right, everyone. For those of you who may just be tuning in, that song I just played was Woodstock, and it's by my featured guest this evening, Evergreen. Evergreen, what was the inspiration for Woodstock?
Thanks, Ohiniwa. So Woodstock, it was, first of all, it's been one of my favorite songs ever since I heard it. It's by the great Joni Mitchell, a song written. And she wrote it at the reflection of, obviously, the Summer of Love. and I realized about the same time that I was driving around with my 11 instruments in my sedan, I had my little baby djembe in my front passenger seat, and I would, like, tap along on it, like, to the sound of my engine running, and I would, like, come up and see some funny things. Sometime later, my partner and his dad took me to a fish show, the great jam band Fish. And I was so struck. I'd never been to an event like this. And I was so struck by the lot, the people at the show. Before they went into the stadium, it seemed like a completely almost like a separate entity and its own entity from the show itself. Like all of these people were going to see this band, but the community that was congregating, like literally in the parking lot of this show, seemed almost unrelated, and was just full of the most colorful tutus and hula hoops and people riding unicycles, and that one guy in a watermelon hat, and you know, just like this vibrancy that I just, that was just unparalleled, and seems to be consistent across many like festivals and shows, no matter what genre music is. So this goes back to our conversation about the universality of the human experience across genres. These, like, it seemed like this scene or this type of scene showed up at various festivals and shows, no matter if it was Fish or bluegrass or jazz, or I've heard like Lollapalooza has a similar kind of thing where it's just like these people are just so expressive, and it's like part, like a huge part of the spectacle is the people themselves. And I wanted to capture a song that really emulated that, because it was such a profound experience for me to see such an explosion of human creativity. And it was a real joy to do that with this song that I really love, by a songwriter and musician who I admire deeply.
Okay. Being that you're unique in your own way, what would you say makes your music just as unique as you?
I think my music takes on a variety. I don't particularly, well, especially with this album, I don't settle on in one place for too long. and I really enjoy learning new things. I think part of the uniqueness of anybody is the constant growth and constant movement of new experiences. I think stagnation is a real way that people become more the same. And as we all know now, I'm very much a fan of constant movement, really, in my life. I love learning new things. I love getting out there. I love experiencing new things, getting my mind open in various ways. And that creates a more and more complex network for me to draw inspiration from, and I hope that comes through in my music. Both in the genres that I'm exposed to, the people and conversations that I have that inspire me, the events that occur in my life, et cetera.
Okay. So, with you being in this, whirlwind of different music, different sounds, different cultures, what inspires you when writing your music for any kind of project?
Well, this one in particular, I had this idea to recontextualize this classical piece of music. I've had that idea for 12 years now, for a full dozen years. It's just lived in the back of my brain. I took a masterclass where they were talking about that particular piece of work, that particular classical piece. And the violas, is this big viola solo in the first movement. The guy played it like a train, made the piece different, and was like, hey, like, this is kind of like a sort of a jankier way to play it. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, you know, like, I had never heard anything like that before, of taking something from, you know, that was written in one context and scooping it up and putting it into a different context. And I was like, this is not only super fun and wonderful, but it's also like creatively and expressively validating for genres of music and cultures that aren't typically represented in music academia. I'm a music teacher primarily, and my focus in music teaching is really getting a general sense of music, not just teaching the classical and not just teaching the sheet music, but really teaching that music happens all over the world, has happened since the beginning of time, since like before we learned how to sing, before we learned how to speak words, because we needed a way to communicate emotionally before we needed a way to communicate about material things. And birds do it, all creatures do it, and it's just a sense of that expressive vibration. And coming from that place, and I mean, really, not even as far as I necessarily take it, just means that all music should be empowered in the classroom and should be open to any student for exploration, and exploration in a really fun and heart-forward, voice-forward way, so that the student feels empowered to sing their heart song, if you will, in whatever way that they care to, you know, classical or not. And it's often not classical because it was based in the elite class of Europe 200 years ago. And that's really where that tradition arose. And a lot of my students are a part of that specific culture. most are Americans. And so that's really what has inspired me for this project. I have other projects in the works where I want to do like an album of love songs and an album of jazz and like soul and hello. And like I have these other projects, but often it involves genre fusing. Often it involves just kind of speaking my mind in the language that it seems like it wants to be spoken in. That really inspired my work on this album for sure.
Okay. Well, all right. We have spoken for some time. And we're at the end of the show. I want to thank you for being on with me, Evergreen.
Thank you
so
much.
I want to say it was a pleasure speaking with you and learning more about you and your style of music. Before I let you go, is there any shout-outs or anything you want to say to anybody out there?
Yeah, I want to thank Taylor Turner for being the most incredible bassist I know. On both of the tunes that were played today, he was the bassist for both of them. And he basically can do – he is a musician who I recognize as quite singular in being able to do pretty much anything he wants, no matter what genre or language or anything it's in. And I just want to shout him out by name because his work is incredible. And I want to thank my producer, Charles Godfrey, for sound engineering everything. And I really want to thank you for having me on. And thank you for including me in your community. And thank you to your team as well. It really feels good for this little independent artist to really feel heard. I'm really grateful.
You are so welcome, and I'm glad that we had you on this evening.
Thank you so much.
You have a nice night, Evergreen.
Thank you. You too.
Now, before I end the show for the evening, please listen to this.
What's up, everybody? My name is Tarius, and I got a crazy entertaining new show for you on YouTube Friday nights called Rhythm and Views. Listen, man, on the Rhythm and Views show, we're building a community where you can showcase your talent. If you're a music artist, we'll play your music and your videos and give you honest feedback. Also, we do mainstream music video reactions, celebrity interviews, and entertainment news. On top of everything else, we also have a segment where we highlight small business owners no matter what you do. We got you covered no matter what. So listen, this is the show you should be watching. Uploads every Friday at 6 p.m. EST on YouTube. That's the Rhythm and Views show. Let's go.
All right, everyone. I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in. My next scheduled show will be on May 25th, 2023 at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This will be a special show segment highlighting those who make or produce music, indie artists. Make sure to check out the IL Radio shows which aired on May 4th, and I was the host of that show segment. Also check out the May segment of Getting Wilbert Ross. Her show aired on May 15th, and her special guest was singer and motivational speaker, Rashawn Nicole. Getting Real with Roz is broadcast the third Monday of every month. So, everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show. And again, I want to thank my special featured guest this evening, Evergreen, for being on with me. You all have a nice night. Good night. Thank you.